Think about something in your life that God delivered you from. It could have been this morning. It could have been last week. It could have been a month ago or a year ago, whatever. Just think of one thing that you went through and God came in and he delivered you again. I can't believe there's somebody in the church here that doesn't have a story, a testimony that says, God got me through. I've got a story. I've got a testimony. God will do it again. It may not look like it today. In fact, it might look hopeless sometimes. I'm sure we've all been there, but God's going to do it again. He's going to restore. He's going to give you new hope. He's going to give you peace. Church, he's going to give you joy. No matter what it looks like today, no matter what the news, we say that almost every Sunday. It just doesn't matter. God's ways are above our ways, and that's got to still get you excited today, church. There's got to be joy. There's got to be hope. You've got to let God just flood your life with peace. Today, we're going to continue to rediscover Christmas. There's still joy in the house. There's still joy in God's house. Because I believe in his promises. I believe in God's promises. I pray you do too, right? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for those promises that are yes and amen. We thank you, Lord God, that everything we say, everything we do, you ordain the very steps of our lives. And Lord, today, Lord God, when things just don't look the same, Lord, when things don't have the same meaning that we felt maybe in Christmases of past, Lord God, today, let joy be restored inside of each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, let us rely on everything that you have for us today. Let it be today. Flood us today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. All the church people at Cross Point Church gather together and say amen with me. Amen. Give them praise. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Hey, give somebody a wave today. Let them know you appreciate them being here today. You can do whatever you want. You can wave. We're trying not to doing the hugs and all that stuff. And Lord, don't do the kisses. We'll hold off on a holy kiss, right? Wow. I just want to welcome everybody to church today. There's no better place to be on a Sunday morning than God's house. No better place to be. And thank you for being here. Welcome as the church continues to come into the house, no matter what we read each week. And I want to thank everybody who's online. There's quite a few people joining us online. Thank you to all of you as you watch today. I encourage you, if you're on Facebook, just to share the stream to your Facebook page. Why? Because you can get the word out by doing nothing but sitting there and clicking a couple buttons right now and let people know that Cross Point Church is open for business. We're open for business because we still serve a risen Savior no matter what anybody else says, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to see each and every one of you. I have met some visitors this morning, and thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in today. We have quite a few visitors coming in. We have quite a few people watching online. You do whatever you want. You want to wear a mask, by all means, you can do that as well. If you don't want to, you can do that as well. We just are glad you're here. Hey, Christmas Eve service is a couple weeks away, and we're going to celebrate here, right here. And we're trusting, I'm told that we just pack out the place. You know about the merger and the name change, and we're moving through the Christmas season, and lots going on, and, you know, I'm just still excited. I'm still excited for our church. I'm still excited for everything we've been doing as a body of believers and moving into 2022. I hope you're getting that excitement still as well, right? We're rediscovering Christmas. You know, sometimes we go through these situations of life that we get upon the holidays and you just don't have that joy or that rejoicing in your spirit that you had maybe in years past. Some of us have been through so many Christmases we just didn't have much at all. We struggle. I just thought, you know, we're going to rediscover Christmas this season. And week one here a few weeks ago, you know, we're in the Advent season, right? We're in the Advent season, the weeks leading up to Christmas, and we started with finding hope again, finding hope in all these uncertain times. We talked a couple weeks ago that hope sees beyond what your physical eyes see. We talked about God's still with us, right? Now and always, God's still here. Hope inspires us just to carry on. Hope continues to burn inside of us to move forward. And hope restores, it empowers, it delivers, it conquers. You got to have hope. If you don't have hope, you've got no hope. You have nothing. Last week, we talked about finding peace in all the struggles. We preached about that and taught about that. We talked about your inner peace with you. How are you feeling with you? Are you at peace with you? We talked about being at peace with others, right? Are you at peace with other people? Are you at peace with God? Probably the most important, right? Are you at peace with God? We talked about some false peace. The enemy will send false peace into your life. We talked about that as well. You know, there's peace that shows up in the storm. Peace shows up in the middle of the storm. Peace will defy all your circumstances. No matter what is going on, you can have peace flood your very spirit, your soul, and it will just take care of all those circumstances. Why is that? Because peace is a person. Peace is a person, and we talked about that. But today, as we move through the Rediscovering Christmas series, today I want to talk about joy. Specifically, joy in your discouragements, joy in the middle of your pain. You know, joy shows up in discouragement. It just does, and God is the author of joy. In your painful times, joy shows up. Sometimes it takes a little longer for us to respond, but joy shows up. And we're going to talk about that as we rediscover Christmas today, right in the middle. You know, this Advent season that we started a few weeks ago, you know, there's an expectation. Advent means the coming or the arrival. Coming or arrival of what? Jesus Christ. And then it talks about the expectation that I have and you have about his arrival. I anticipate his arrival. I celebrate it on Christmas Day. It's not about presents or whatnot. I wasn't raised to have all these presents. My mom didn't have money to buy us much, if anything. And what little we did get, we just celebrated. I didn't know any different. I didn't know any different if I got a couple presents as opposed to my friends who got 50 or whatever. I just didn't know. But I knew that we were celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and I knew that that's what it was all about. Each week as we go through the series and talking about hope, peace, joy, and love, I'm praying that each and every one of us are impacted by the power of God to teach us and help us through this rediscovery process. But today, let's talk a little bit about joy and, you know, what's joy really like? I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but my wife and I let's back up. I love the water. I love the warm temperatures. I love the water, you know, and I love the Caribbean, and I love to go there and just veg, right? I just love the water. Even in the summertime, we would ride up to Lake Erie just to be close to water. It just seems like it's such a calming effect. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it just calms me down, but it, those waves and whatnot, and I kind of see in those waves, I was thinking and praying about my series, I see in those waves joy. And I got to thinking here, you know, that's kind of like how joy works, the waves. You know, sometimes you're in the ocean. I don't know if you've been in the ocean, but, you know, when I would stay in there, the water could be really calm, but it would be there. Sometimes that's how joy is, you know, it would just be light there and just be calm. And other times it would start to go, right? And it would start to move like a wave. And it would get higher and higher on me, and the closer I got to it, like out into the ocean, the more it would start to ramp up. And I knew what was coming. I knew it was coming. It's kind of how joy is. I see it coming. I feel it coming. It's not there yet. It's kind of like a wave. But then you look off to your left or wherever you are, the ocean, and here it comes. And you make a decision right there. You make a decision whether you want to just throw yourself right into that wave and immerse yourself in it and be a part of it and just let it just pound at you, or you just go the other way. Right? Well, sometimes you go deeper out in the ocean and that wave could kind of skirt you right behind you because you're too far out. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you, I like just to hit it head on. I see the wave coming. It's kind of like joy. It starts to build momentum. And I see that wave coming, and I just want to go right into it and immerse myself. I just want it just to, you know, yeah, if it just takes me off my feet and plows me under, and I'm okay with that. I like it. That's what I want my joy to do. That's what I want joy to do. You could walk out in there and you could see joy just settling on the waters, and you make a decision what you're going to do. Do I just immerse myself in it, or do I say, I'm just not ready for it. I've got to go a different direction. I just can't take it today. There's a quote for you. It goes like this: because Christ has come to be God with us, we can experience this joy no matter what discouragements we may be going through. You know, just take the word discouragement out that you see on the screen behind me and just slide in there this morning, pain. Just put pain there today. And there you'll see exactly how some of us have felt these last few months or last couple of years. There's a lot of joy throughout the biblical Christmas story, especially early in the story, but it's important to note that this joy isn't separate from pain and disappointment. In fact, most of joy was birthed out of disappointment and pain. And let me give you an example. Many of you have heard that yesterday morning at 10:21 a.m., at Mercy Hospital, we lost our beloved guitar player, Thad Evans, that we used to play up here every single Sunday and had been in ministry for many, many, many years. God decided, in all of his infinite wisdom, that it was time that he wanted Thad Evans in heaven. And so, you know, we're talking about joy today, and boy, that's a tough situation. And if you just heard about that news for the first time, my apology, but it's been a long weekend. And here we come in on a Sunday, and there is the discouragement and the pain right in the middle for many of us, especially our worship team, and especially for Lisa, who's watching online right now. Welcome, Lisa. She sent me a text this morning, Pastor, I'm going to be watching. And right in the middle of pain and discouragement, there's joy. The waters are just a little bit, you know. And now we make a decision. Do we immerse ourselves in it, or do we back away from it and go back to shore? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do? There's a story in the Bible about Elizabeth and Mary, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in Luke, it talks about the Christmas story. But there's something that occurred that's really joyful prior to the big story, right? There's a story about Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah. And let me start and read in Luke 1, 5 through 7, and let's look at a story in the Bible. It goes, Luke begins like this. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division Abijah. Now, I'm not going to get into a deep discussion about that today, but King David, many, many, many years earlier, broke up some of the priestly divisions and set them on their way. And down through the generations, there comes Zechariah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were what? Very old, like their pastor. Like the power, just old, right? Really old. Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Elizabeth means there's an oath from God. And these two blameless people get together as husband and wife. Boy, if you're sitting here today and you are named Zechariah, or you know somebody named Zechariah, or your name is Elizabeth, look at that heritage, an oath with God for Elizabeth. God's got an oath with me just in my name. That was Elizabeth. During Roman oppression, Pharisees and Sadducees having these power plays, fighting and, you know, the story. Unrest, not a whole lot of joy in the midst of all this. And there's Zechariah and there's Elizabeth living the life of righteousness. A priestly lineage, going to the temple and doing what they were called to do. But they were older. They just couldn't have kids at that time. They had not been blessed with children. But all of a sudden, this dude shows up. I'm just giving you the paraphrase version. This guy shows up. His name is Gabriel, right? And Gabriel is an angel. And he shows up and had a different joyful moment in store for that couple. They weren't expecting it. They had no idea it was coming. They just knew that they were living a life of blameless righteousness and doing what God called them to do. But all of a sudden, as they're living in the Caribbean, and the waves are just like this, here comes a tsunami wave. This angel shows up. The Archangel Gabriel shows up and makes a decree that they're going to have a child. This child's going to be a prophetic son that will lead people to the Messiah. And who is that guy? John the Baptist, right? And Zechariah does what most guys would do. You know, I don't know if I would do that. If the Archangel Gabriel showed up to me and says, here is your joyful moment. The waves are going to overcome you. He questions it. I'm just giving you the paraphrase verse. He questions it. I don't know. I need another sign. I think that would be a great sign. If we're in church on a Sunday morning and the Archangel Gabriel shows up and gives you a decree, I think that's good enough. Especially if he appears behind me. Whew. I don't know. I would think that the waves would get, you know, right? But Zechariah said, I can't believe it. So he questions this angel. The angel says, okay, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. You can't speak until this child is born. Zip, and he was zipped. Now, I know you're thinking right now, I wish God would do that to some people in my family. I know, you know, just zip them, right? Just making sure. Zip them. But see, Elizabeth was a little smarter. Don't even say that the women are smarter than the guys. But in this case, she was smarter because in Luke 1:25, the Lord has done this for me, she proclaims. I can't have kids, but look what he's going to do. What a joyful moment. He's going to give me a child. Look what he has done for me. And in these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Disgrace among the people means she couldn't have children, and that was kind of disgraceful back then. Not necessarily so much today, but as the years would go on and they would see she wasn't going to have a child, that was kind of disgraceful. But this angel shows up and says, no, I'm going to give you a joyful moment. I'm going to change that for you. And the husband says, I'm not so sure. And she says, God's done something for me. God's done something for me. She had this lifelong stigma being placed on her that you can't have a child. And this angel shows up and says, nope, God has a joyful moment for you. You know, I could see it like it's like a movie title. You know, it's like you're watching this movie and all of a sudden these subtitles come up. And while the angel is talking to this couple and one is muted and the other one is proclaiming something's going on, there's a joyful moment. There's a wave coming in my life. I'm going to receive that. At that time, the angel does something else. It's like, here we go. It's like, meanwhile, here's the title. Meanwhile, over in Galilee. Let me read. When Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, Gabriel makes another earthly appearance. So now it's 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. And meanwhile, the angel says, yeah, I'm going to go over to Galilee and make another appearance. This time I'm going to show up to this girl named Mary. And he's delivering the most miraculous pregnancy announcement of all time to this young girl. You know, when you're pregnant and unmarried at a young age back then, especially even today, and you proclaim that the Son of the living God, God's Son, is inside of you, I wonder how that was received. Joseph couldn't believe the news at first, right? He's like, what? She's pregnant? That's disgusting. I didn't do nothing. And he thought about, you know, putting her away and saying, you know, I got to break off this engagement. I can't, that's a divorce back then. And he's like, oh my gosh, is this really a joyful moment? I don't know. And all those wave of emotions that's going through him. He couldn't believe the news. And then in the midst of Mary being given a child, Messiah, Mary hears something. You know, she's pregnant now, miraculously. All those emotions. And right in the midst of that moment, she says, wait, I know Elizabeth. Wait, she's pregnant too. And some miraculous situation happened to her. I bet you she would understand what I am now going through. Right? Oh, tell me the ladies don't do that. Right? Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go over here and talk to her now because she will understand. Because you know what? My husband doesn't. She makes the track over to see Elizabeth, right? In Luke 1:39, it reads like this. Mary hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. If anybody understands my situation of this situation in me, Elizabeth will understand. This is where the joy erupts. This is where the whole wave comes crashing over these ladies and against the past. The backdrop of discouragement and pain and grief and shame and all those things, joy shows up bursting through the two lives of these mothers. It just shows up. Let me read it to you in Luke 1:41 through 45. It reads like this. So Elizabeth shows up with Mary. They get together, but when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Mary shows up and greets her. Hey, how you doing? I don't know if that's how it went, but you know, whatever. Says, greeting. The baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. How would you like that? Now that's a tidal wave, church. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Humbleness. As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill this promise to her. You know, there's many of us sitting here today and watching online. We're waiting for that promise, that joy to erupt. Sometimes we end up leaving the waters and backing off the waves. And then we wonder why it doesn't show up. And I'm here to tell you, you just got to go into it. You just got to go deeper and deeper. And when you see that joyful wave coming, when you see Mary showing up, there comes your tidal wave. When Mary and Elizabeth got together, the baby leaped in her womb. It's funny, church. all Mary had to do was say, hello. Hey. And the baby knew. And the baby leaped for joy. Mary's joy came busting through. Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of my humble state of his service, his servant. From now on, all these generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. Are you in there somewhere, church? He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Hallelujah. He helped the servant in Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, all these stories, and the descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Promised. Church, what's God promised you today? I hear all the time, Pastor, God's promised me this. And I would always say the same thing back. Are you standing on that promise? Because there's going to be a joyful eruption when God delivers. And sometimes it delivers this joyful promise, but it's not exactly the way you thought. And then I hear back, Pastor, I thought it was going to be like this. I prayed for joyfulness like this. I want it like this. I, this is what I want. Church, I got something to ask you. What does God want? And does his opinion even matter? Does it matter? And more importantly, do we as a church and believers, do we care about what he thinks? Or is it strictly on us? If it's not our way, we're getting out of the water. And I'm going to challenge you today, if you want a joyful eruption, you got to go deeper. You got to take a step by step by step and just continue to immerse yourself into the waters and watch it start to stir. I've noticed this. The deeper I get, the more I feel it. When I'm just in there in my toes, and I dip my toes into the water, I don't feel much. You know, I get a little bit. But every step I take, power of the ocean gets stronger and stronger, and it starts to overtake me more and more. I just wonder if I'm going deep enough. I wonder if I want that joyful eruption, if I just have to go a little bit deeper. I wonder what would have happened if Mary would have said, I'm not going to go see Elizabeth. I heard about it. I just don't need to go. I'm tired. I'm pregnant. I don't want to go. She hopped in her truck, started it up, hit the gas, put in the gear, hit the gas, and just got there. Pastor, there's no trucks back there. I know. But she made it. She was looking for a joyful eruption. She's looking for something, but she didn't know what it was. And how does that apply to us today? What's that look like to us in this day, in 2021, going into 2022, when we've had all these situations? We've had joyful moments of a church coming together, and we've had some discouragement, and we had some pain. We've had a pain yesterday morning. And how do you pull past your pain out of that moment? I don't have to. God will send joy. I don't have to do it. I just have to be the recipient of it. But here's what I know I have to do. I've got to go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper into the waves. So how does that apply to me today? Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, listen, you can be joyful and happy. You know, we talk about in the Christian circles about the words happy and happiness and joyfulness or rejoicing. And, you know, we talk about like they're like separate things. I'm going to take care of that this morning for you. Happiness, Webster says it's a feeling or showing some type of pleasure or contentment. He says that joy, though, is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Now I'm really confused. See, he don't even know what it is. But my God does. My God knows exactly what it is. Where you fall on the spectrum between happiness and joy, or if it's all rolled in together, probably depends on your personal past and your spiritual history, or where you're at in the waves. Depending on the translation, the Bible says the words happy and happiness show up 30 times, while joy and rejoicing appear over 300 times. But we as believers think that there's this thing, a difference between happiness and joyfulness. And like they're exclusive. Like you could be happy but not joyful. You could be joyful but not happiness. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit right now. I just want to clear things up for you. Happiness is a feeling, we think, but joy is not. I got news for you today. But we feel like that. We think it's, okay, this feeling of happiness, but joyful is it's on a different scale. Happiness is sometimes fleeting, but joy is everlasting. Boy, does that sound spiritual, right? Happiness is fleeting, but joy. Happiness depends on the circumstances or people, but joy is a gift from God. Right? We talk like that. Happiness is worldly, but joy is divine. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, yeah, we have. Church, there's no distinction made in Scripture or forcing a distinction between the words, these two words that are obviously close in meaning. Joy is often presented as true, a contentment based on our faith. Happiness is contrast to that. We think sometimes it's a little false. It's superficial. It's an emotion. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that they're different. They're equal. Happiness and joyfulness. Happiness is not on a scale. Joyfulness is not on a scale. We make it feel like that. Joyfulness, church, is a person. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as we rediscover that this Christmas, right? As we rediscover, let me give you a little word here. The important thing is that God sees you no matter where you are, or where you fall on the emotional spectrum of happiness, where we place ourselves. Your longing for happiness and joy is a natural desire that God has placed within you as a reflection of his own joyful nature. Whatever term we want to call it, the most important part is our source of joy and happiness. The source, not the byproduct of it, it's the source of it, right? It is the source, and you can be joyful and happy. You can be happy and joyful. There's the struggle sometimes because we try to place them in classifications, and they're not. God is full of joy, and I rejoice in that, right? What's the second thing? It's kind of just to bring it home for us as believers here today, and, you know, this joy thing, joy is our strength. In troubling times, joy is our strength. That's hard. It's hard. Let me give you a story of Nehemiah a little bit, and I'll just give you a little paraphrase. You've heard the name before. We've used scriptures before. The Old Testament leader who got permission from a king to return from exile in Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem, starting with its walls. And he starts this process. And one of the very first things he does is a declaration. Where's you heard that before? He does a declaration. He takes the laws of Moses and he opens them up and he says, here's a declaration for you. We need to go back to God. We need to get back to God. We need to get back to the things of God. You know, I talked to you a week or so ago about the city in, what, Finland, Turku, right? For 700 years, they do this declaration at Christmas Eve at noon. And they would open this thing and declare peace in the city. And all of a sudden, I wonder where they got that. And Nehemiah declares, we need to go back to God. We need to get back to the things of God. Coming out of captivity, let's get back to the things of God. He wasn't talking about a physical city. He was talking about a spiritual reawakening for his people. He brings the people together. He reads this declaration that he makes, calling people to remember and return to the things of God. I remember. The people were weeping, tears of joy. But most of the weeping came from sadness because they knew something, and they knew they had drifted away from God. And here's this guy showing up and saying, let's get back to our roots. And you would think that wouldn't be a joyful moment. You would think that after all that kind of like condemnation and telling you, we've been away from God, we got to get back, we've got to have this joyful moment, he gives you the blueprint to get there. And here's the beauty in the midst of the scene. Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah says, listen, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. The day is holy to our Lord. Don't grieve it, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is your strength. You may be only wading in it just a little bit, but you need to get a little bit closer and keep going into the waters, and you need to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And he's telling the people in this declaration, here's the law of Moses, let's get ourselves beyond where we have been and go to where we need to go. Let's get back to the things of God. I'm not saying that we're away from the things of God. I'm telling you, you don't have to go through this big, long process to get there. He tells you right here in his word, leave it go, and let's go. We didn't do the things in the first place right. Let's just move forward. Let's go deeper into the water. It reminded me here a couple weeks ago of a call I got from Thad on a Saturday afternoon. Thad was in the hospital, and he calls his pastor. And I'm going to tell you, I am honored that people call me my pastor. No greater words you can tell a pastor, say, you're my pastor. And he calls me up and says, pastor, you're my pastor. He wanted me to speak to him and talk to him, and he was unsettled and not feeling comfortable, and he was ill in the hospital, but he was able to talk to me, and he just wanted to proclaim the name of Jesus. He wanted a joyful eruption. He wanted a joyful eruption. And he calls his pastor to lead him through a joyful eruption. And so I prayed with him, and I gave him the words. The word of God says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, Thad Evans, I know the answer to this question, but because you call and you are asking your pastor, I'm going to say, are you proclaiming the name of Jesus? He breaks down on the phone and says, I proclaim him every day of my life. And that proclamation was remembered in a declaration when he showed up in heaven yesterday morning, and Jesus looked at him and says, there's a joyful moment. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Here's a new guitar. Let's rip it. If you knew Thad, that was a saying. Nehemiah said, celebrate joy and enjoy it. Why? Because this is the time of happiness that God has brought us back out of captivity, restoring our city, restoring our hearts. And because our source of our strength is the very joy of the Lord, that's what fuels us and that's what sustains us. Today, maybe in God's house at Cross Point Church, it doesn't feel like that. But church, I'm going to tell you what, as the days and the weeks and the months and the years go on, this church is going to take a little bit more steps into the water. We're going to take a little bit more. We're going to get a little bit deeper. We're going to get to the point we're going to allow the waves just to overcome us. We're going to dive right into those waves. We're going to let the joy of the Lord erupt within inside of us. Why? Because that's where we need to be. Does somebody proclaim that with me today? Our true source of happiness, joy, fulfillment comes from Christ. Christmas is a season of joy because the Messiah has brought joy into the world and provided us the way of ultimate fulfillment in life. And Peter describes that just like this. In 1 Peter 1:8-9, he describes it like this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with this impressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. One of our beloveds received that yesterday at 10:21. Joyful strength is like the waves. They can start small and build up and overtake us altogether. Because that's the strength. And guess what? Point number three, we get to decide. We get to make a decision, church. There's a lot of us that uses the word rejoice in the Bible. It's not a word that's used very often in our culture today, but maybe it really should be. Rejoicing is a verb, and it's a form of the word joy. It's the action or feeling or the expression of joy and delight. And right in front of that word is this prefix called is R-E, rejoice, right? There's this R-E. What does that mean? You ever think of what that means? It means one more time. Let's do it again. We sang that song. Do it again. One more time. Rejoice. One more time. Do it again. Right? Or return to something. So to rejoice is to return to joy. If you don't have any today, it's a choice and an action that we can take up and return to joy. It is a return to our source of our joy, which is what? Jesus. Jesus. A thought for you. I believe the process is the same for all of us, whether we are feeling the happiness and joy of the season or not, whether we are buried in the pain or everything is going great. None of us can conjure up an unending supply of feeling good, of happiness all the time. We just can't do that. Sooner or later, we're all going to feel the days or the weeks or the years, and we've got to decide how we're going to live. That's going on in families in our church today. That's going on in the community. That's going on in the state. That's going on in the country. That's going on in the world. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? What's the process? How deep do we go into waves? The last thing you want to hear when you're hurting is James 1, 2 through 4. Let's read that together because we've read this before and it goes like this. James lays it out. Consider the pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that that tests your faith and produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Tough scripture today. Tough scripture for a lot of us today. Perseverance, going after joy, deeper into waters, where do we stand? That's the last thing we want to hear, really, when we're hurting, that joy can, that you can feel joy can be so far away when you're grieving or depressed or afraid. But let me encourage you that James isn't necessarily saying to be happy about the trial or the situation. In fact, he's not. He's saying we can find joy in the middle of the situation, even though we're hurting with it. The bigger picture is that God is working for our good in every situation. The bigger picture starts at our source, and that source is Jesus. That source is Jesus. Reminds me of Psalm 13. You know, Psalm 13, you could read the whole psalm in your studies over this week, and I'll test you on it next week. But it starts with a really cool scripture, a verse, and it goes like this. Psalm 13:1, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? Now that's a cry, church. That is the cry that many people have today during this Christmas season. Lord, how long will you forget me forever? But something happens in Psalm 13:5. As it concludes, it goes like this. But in the midst of all that, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I'm going a little deeper. I'm going to go a little farther. And the word but shows up right at the end of that passage. No matter what, in the end, there is still the author, there is still the finisher of my faith in yours, and his name is Jesus. When everything has settled, and we're standing there feeling alone, wondering where the joy is and the happiness is this Christmas season, we don't know our next step, whether we're going deeper in the water or a retreat. We don't know if we're going left or going right. We just got so much discouragement, so much pain. We just don't know. All of a sudden, there's a baby that leaps for joy. But we got to make that decision. Are we in? Do we believe he'll do it again? Do we believe that he will do it for us again like he did it in the past? I started this message by saying everyone here probably has a moment in their life where they remember that God would do it again. He did something for you. He delivered you from something. I can't believe there wouldn't be a story in every person's heart today. Do we believe there's joy in the midst of the storm? Do we believe that the baby's going to leap for joy? Do we believe that we can go deeper and rediscover the joy of Christmas seasons that we have had in the past? Do we believe, no matter what we see, what we hear, what has happened, what discouragements there are out there, what has happened in painful situations, which we've mentioned, and there's more. Do we believe that? Church, let's make a decision today to rediscover Christmas this year by embracing joy. Even though it doesn't feel like it's there, let's just go and embrace it to gain strength from it. No matter what we're going through, let's remember each day the source of our joy. Let's seek our happiness not in seasonal trappings and traditions that's around us, but in returning constantly to our source of joy. Let's choose to continue the process of rejoicing despite the pain and challenges that we're facing. Let's heed the good news of the angels and believe it. And that will bring us great joy to all of us. A Savior has been born, our Messiah, the Lord. He will carry us through and complete his work in all of us, no matter what. Do we still believe that today, church? Stand with me if you believe that. No matter what, stand with me if you believe that. Let's just stand together in agreement as a church that there's joy and there's strength. Let's believe as a church that the best is yet to come. Let's believe as a church that God's not done with you yet. Let's believe as a church that he's just getting started. No matter what it looks like, no matter what discouragements there are, no matter what pain's out there, let's have joy. Rely on that strength and believe. Let's believe, church, in Jesus' name. Father God, I believe, Lord. I believe, Lord God, I have joy. Lord, let me go deeper in the waters. Lord, let me see the wave that's coming close to me. Let me see Elizabeth walking towards me. Let me see Mary walking towards me, Lord. Let the baby leap for joy. Lord God, let me do whatever I gotta do. Lord God, I pray today I'll allow joy to be my strength. Lord, allow us to rediscover that joy no matter what discouragements or pain shows up. Let it be so, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, amen. Church, no matter what discouragements you have, no matter what pain you have, I got something to tell you before I leave. There's still joy in God's house. Give him praise. Hallelujah.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We'll shout out your praise. Shout out your praise.